Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Lindsay Lohan tweets invites to her 31st birthday party. It's a reality TV deep dive into the Real Housewives of New York City. We dish about what to expect on the new season of OC Housewives, and Big Brother returns for the summer. That and more with Aaron Martin. Let the ranting begin. I am joined by Aaron Martin, blogger for Reality T, and a reoccurring guest on Jenny McCarthy's Sirius XM radio show. Welcome, Aaron.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thanks, Grant.
You're joining me on Skype, which is great because I've had a few of these shows before, and it really shows that this business is outside of Hollywood and people are working just as hard and delivering a bunch of content all over the United States.
Yeah, seriously. I'm in the Midwest. I'm coming to you from Madison, Wisconsin, where it's summer for 3 days.
Oh my God.
And I'm enjoying it. Yeah, but it's funny because the writers for Reality T and for all the blog sites, really, they're not totally LA based. They come from all over the place, which I think is fantastic because we're all watching these shows.
Right. And you're our kind of people, because Reality T is a source that I use constantly at AfterBuzz and here. So, I mean, what a great guest to have who is in the know. You're writing the articles that I didn't realize that I read almost everything that you put out there. So it's great to have you on this show, and we're going to talk mainly about reality TV, and we're going to get into talking about the Housewives, a little bit of Big Brother. Did you look at that?
I did. Yeah. I watched the first episode. Yeah.
Well, we can be real candid about that because, who cares?
But, right, exactly.
So we've met just through Twitter, really, and me reading your articles, and you were gracious and reached out to me, and you've checked out the show, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, love your show.
Thank you. You're from Rhode Island, correct?
Well, my family is from Cranston, Rhode Island. I grew up mostly in Pennsylvania, but most of all my extended family lives southern Massachusetts in Rhode Island.
Okay, yeah. So I'm from Cranston, Rhode Island.
Cranston?
Yeah.
You're from Cranston? I can't believe it.
Yeah, that's small world.
When I tell my mom, she's going to die. I told her, I said, I think he's from Providence. And she's like, get out of here. I mean, she was so excited. So
oh,
when
she'll
I tell
love
her
it.
Cranston.
Yep, I went to Cranston High School West, the whole deal. So it's all real. Yeah, that's so funny.
Love
in
it.
Such a small world. I was like, there's just no way. Yeah. But you never know who you're talking to.
No.
I love it. So I have to get right into my rant of the day.
Rant of the day.
My rant usually is something critical of someone like Sherry or Barbara or Steve Harvey or some idiot, but this one is actually pretty positive. This is Lindsay Lohan and her tweet that I just have to acknowledge. This, I almost fell over when I saw this because I have the picture in my house of Brittany, Lindsay, and Paris in that SUV for the night when they all flashed their badge and all that. It's just like, to me, so iconic. Those three bitches all together. I love it. So once I saw this tweet, so it's Lindsay's birthday coming up. She's going to be turning 31 on July 2nd. And she's gave a 5-day notice tweet. Hashtag nice girls. At Britney Spears, at Paris Hilton, come to my hashtag Mykonos, or come to hashtag Mykonos for my birthday this weekend at Beyonce, you too. Lindsay, what are we going to do with you?
She is Lindsay Lohan. She's still Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, I mean, love it.
She is just, I love it too. That group, let's just break down that group that she's inviting here. Beyonce.
Just throwing her in at the end is a bonus.
She's the last name. She's the last at. It's like Beyonce, really. And FYI, Lindsay, in case you haven't lived on the planet for too long, she just had twins. The obvious that Beyonce would never come to anything Lindsay Lohan was inviting her to on Twitter. Also.
I know. How intimate. I know. I feel like she wrote that to the other two, and then she realized she had more characters to fill. So she's like, who else?
Right. She's like, at Bill Gates.
What will fit here?
Yeah, right.
This all goes back to that night they went out to, I don't know, Nice Guys or whatever the hell. And the Nice Guy is its own place now, but I guess it was just Guys, whatever. Yeah, Guys in West Hollywood in 2006. So it's over 10 years ago at this point that they had that infamous photo taken. But I just love that this was acknowledged, because that to me seems like a forgotten time. You know, I've said it on this show, you know, we need a disaster or a hot mess. It's like that was the golden age of disasters.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were their own little mini Brat Pack in a way. And yes, people were following them. They were in the news every day for nothing. For nothing. Yeah, it was the whole the fire crotch, you know, saga that went on. It was amazing. Yeah. Where are those people now? You know, Selena Gomez isn't really delivering in the drama department. She's a good girl. And yeah, you know, it's kind of sad.
Yeah. There are some that try, like that Halsey or whatever, who was completely desperate to try to get people to buy her music, who I have no respect for. Did you see that she's like calling people out about minor things?
Did she call Britney Spears out about not singing, or was that someone else?
Well, it's probably been a lot of people, but I mean, I think that she, I forgot what she said about Britney. I forgot what she said about Britney, but Britney did release a statement this week in a Tel Aviv interview that she sings over her tracks. So, and she, I've heard this, and I've seen this. I study these performances closely. I knew that she did that for years. So I don't know if she's, you know, if it's a full on Celine Dion. I mean, let's be real. She's singing over her track, but I'm still okay with it.
I'm okay with it too. I'm okay with Britney.
You're team awesome. Britney, huh?
I'm team Britney. Yeah. Ugh. I think I always love was. It. I always was. I mean, even out of Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears, I mean, I know they're not even in the same wheelhouse because they're two different industries, but they're kind of two celebrities that came up at the same time. And I'm always team Britney Spears because she came from nothing. I think she has a more of a Marilyn Monroe story where the industry really did her wrong, you know, and yeah. Lindsay was just a brat. That's how I feel about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you're on the right show with this one, because I love anything Britney. Oh, and Lindsay, I'll always throw out there. No one else is talking about her but me. But I got to keep her around, because I have a feeling like it's going to be like a soap character. Like she's going to return, you know, and she'll be everywhere again. So get ready. Speaking about soaps, you know, they say the Housewives are the modern day soap opera. And I think it's never more true than on the New York Housewives. That show.
I agree. Okay. So I think I read a tweet from you, or just correct me if I'm wrong. Is OC your favorite?
OC is my favorite. Yeah.
Okay. So that's your favorite. So New York is my favorite. I love OC. I love them all actually for different reasons, but like Real Housewives of New York is my team. So they would be, since I'm in Wisconsin, they're like my Green Bay Packers. I watch them when they're bad. I watch them when they're good. I root for them when they lose. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know why. I think there's just several qualities about that franchise that I just love above the others. And I was rooting for them up until, you know, it was episode 13 last night. And I feel like they finally brought it. But 1 through 12, no, they did not. Mm-hmm. I was so disappointed. I was like, come on, guys. Come on.
So you weren't really into the Berkshires this year, that all of the antics around those episodes, it didn't really get you going like this Vermont trip.
So what I liked about this episode is I love Dorinda. I think she's the MVP of the franchise completely. She's the best casting decision that they've ever made on that show. At least, I think every single city could use a Dorinda.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it made me think back to other seasons. What additions have they had that have really worked like a lightning rod like she has? And the only one I can really think of is maybe Shannon over on OC, because she was after like every year of a one season dud. So they were hot for someone to come in and do something. But Dorinda is so likable and the one-liners, and she knows how to play the game. Those are the best kinds.
Those are the best kind. And so when Ramona goes off on Bethany in the Berkshires, that was a good episode. So I will backtrack a little bit. It wasn't all duds. I just could not stand the Tom and Luann storyline. I mean, it was so played out. It was played out for everyone. I don't think anyone was really interested in it beyond 2-3 episodes, and it went on forever. And then when she finally got married, it was almost like a relief. Like, oh, thank God we don't have to talk about this anymore. Of course they will.
Yeah.
But Dorinda, as opposed to, say, Ramona or Bethany, when she goes off on someone, everybody comes back from it at the same, in within the hour almost, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know if it's just because it's her or because she's so bizarre and funny or because she's like half drunk all the time. She's like the crazy aunt that just gets away with stuff that the others don't. And she's not mean-spirited. I don't find her to be mean-spirited.
It's true. No one, well, maybe Sonya, but no one is really going after her. You know, she's inserted herself in everything, but she's never really the target like all the others, you know?
Yeah, she's not. And you know why this season she made a conscious decision to keep John Medesian, her sketchy dry cleaning boyfriend, off of the show?
Yep.
Yeah.
I was watching an old clip actually when she was on Watch What Happens Live last year, and they were like, you know, I don't understand. Like, you know, he's taking over the show. Like, it's not a good look for you. So she took that note.
She took that note. Absolutely. And it was a wise note to take because he was overshadowing her awesomeness, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So real time, Ramona had a meltdown very recently at a party in the Hamptons last Friday, as of the time we're recording this podcast. And apparently Luann was present, and she confronted a publicist, Anna Rothschild, accusing her of gossiping about her ex-husband's affair. And apparently there was a bunch of screaming, and she said, "You're evil, and you broke up a family." Now, I can picture Ramona doing exactly what was listed here, according to page 6.
I can, too. And I can tell you, there's a fellow writer who one of us lives in the Manhattan area and saw Ramona out at a function with some of the other New York housewives. I think this was maybe last year. And Ramona is by far the worst to staff, to fans, to everyone. I talked to Ramona just a couple of weeks ago on the Jenny McCarthy show, because Jenny was interviewing her the day after the Berkshires episode aired where she went ballistic on Bethany. And I called in and asked her a few questions too. And she did most of the interview. I just got to ask a couple of questions, and she was very nice and very contrite, but she's on the contrition tour right now. She has to get back in everyone's good graces. Mm-hmm. But I've heard that in person, she is just as you would think.
Yeah, yeah, I heard she's everyone's least favorite to work with as the side of production. Like, she complains about everything from the placement of the microphone to just trying to get through anything with her. Like, getting her started, I guess, is really tough. Like, getting her in the restaurant and, like, mic'd up and, like, here's what we're going to be doing. Like, yeah, there's a more than one screw loose on that one. Do you think it was worse after Mario, or was she always this way?
I think she's always been she can't get out of her own way. I mean, a lot of them can't, and that's what makes them fabulous housewives, because they are so unself-aware, and want someone who, Sonya. I mean, Sonya is just, but Sonya's got a sweetness about her delusion, and Ramona... Let me break this down. Okay. I think Ramona tries to act like a normal human, and that's what gets in her way. Whereas Sonya, she is a space alien, and she sort of embraces that. You know, she's just like, she babbles on about things, but Ramona really acts like she is your best friend, and she has your best interests at heart. And she tries to play this character that she's just not that person, I don't think. Yeah. And it's creepy. It's really creepy. But I do think she's worse after the Mario breakup. And it was such a terrible way to end that relationship, that he cheated on her, became public. I could totally believe that she was screaming at this publicist, because I think she wants to blame anyone but herself and her husband for this. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the divorce finalized last year. I guess it's still, you know, early in the process of healing wounds. I mean, she still has a lot of anger to be able to scream like that in a public place. But we've seen this before. This isn't really out of character for her to get upset. She doesn't care who's around. But I feel like,
she'll rip those production lights down. Yeah. She doesn't care. Yeah.
I know. That's my biggest argument with the whole thing, is that we're supposed to be sold on all this stuff. Like, instead of just saying there are production lights up, she said, oh, they have these things and they were in the corner and I wanted to sleep. I mean, it makes everyone look stupid, and it's an insult to the audience who's watching.
I know.
Oh, they were just bright. They were on, and I couldn't turn the... What do you think they were? I mean, really, what do they think we think they were?
I know, it's like, you, it's one of those, you know that I know that you know that I know, right?
You're right. It's ridiculous. And it's the same thing that drives me crazy when they have people like, great example, Potomac. We're not going to talk about Potomac in this episode because no one cares. But when Ashley was at that failure of a restaurant and someone came in saying that Juan was on a date with someone, we all know that she's a production puppet. So no one was wandering off the street let her know this. I mean, who do we think told her? It's just an insult to everyone around. It's like you said, we all know, wink, wink.
Yeah, we're all inside of the, you know, we're in on the joke. Right. And yeah, I know. There's been some articles, some really fantastic articles written about this, how Bethany was the first one to break that wall in a real way on the reunion where she basically broke up with Jill because she outed Jill Zarin for not filming with her. And that was the real reason and her being mad at her for her spinoff. And she just went for it on those reunion couches in New York. And nobody had really talked about the behind the scenes mm-hmm. before. And so... yeah, we dance around it, though. They dance around it.
They still are with Sonia missing out on the Berkshires last year because that was money that she didn't make. And she, you know, they have those contracts on New York where you have to fulfill so much of an obligation of drama or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, I can understand why she was so pissed, but none of that is vocalized.
No, exactly. She did say at one point, she said, well, it's a job, Andy. I don't know if it was on Watch What Happens Live or on the reunion, but mm-hmm. that was as far as she went. Yeah. And no one really talks about the fact that Bethany is, maybe she's not a producer in name on the New York franchise, but she is as close as you can get as one of the cast members to Andy, you know? And so the reason Sonia wasn't on that Berkshires trip, in my opinion, as a viewer, is because Bethany didn't want her there, not because Dorinda was scared, you mm-hmm. know, about her fragile. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned Bethany and her ex-husband is looking real bad. There's an article out on Reality T. And next week, we're going to start to hear about how he was brought up on 3 stalking charges. Well, this week, present day, he got 2 more. So now he's up to 5 stalking charges with Bethany and a lot of threatening messages and emails telling her that he'll destroy her. I mean, why the hell would you put this in writing?
I know. This is my question about Jason Hoppe. Why is he putting this in writing 160 times and CCing Dennis Shields, her then boyfriend, who Bethany talked about breaking up with this week on The Real Housewives? Mm-hmm. Well, that's because this week what we're seeing is when Jason went to Bryn's school in January. That's when this was filmed and got Dennis involved. Dennis was there. And this is when the 160 emails were going on as well. And he was CCing Dennis on them. And Dennis had to get representation of his own to contact Jason's lawyers to cease and desist. And all of a sudden on Real Housewives of New York, Bethany's like, yeah, Dennis and I aren't together anymore. Hmm. And it's like, no. Your ex-husband is a serial killer. I mean, I really feel, in all honesty, on a serious note, I've seen pictures of him recently, and I think those speak 1,000 words, and he looks like a very troubled man. Mm-hmm. He looks like, you know, those guys that you hear about, you know, kidnapping the kid and running away to hurt the mom or something. I don't know. It feels like he's coming unhinged in a way that isn't just about, you know, reality TV and spectacle or even money or things like that. He's got mental issues, in my opinion.
Yeah, he snapped somewhere in there.
He snapped.
And I don't know how old is her daughter, 6?
Her daughter is 7 now. Okay. I think she was 6 while filming. Yeah.
So she does have a lot of time left to have that back and forth with him. There's really no end in sight, you know, until she's 18. And even then, it's not like he disappears. But I wonder what will happen to him if he keeps getting brought up on charges. Do you think he could do time, or is he just going to have house arrest, or what would they do?
I don't know. I have no idea what the legalities of this are, but I find it very telling that the housewives are all closing ranks around Bethany in their interviews. Even Ramona is defending her. Dorinda has come out and said, Sonia has come out and said in interviews that they think he is pretty much evil, sadistic, that it's real. You know, they don't kind of gloss over it, mm-hmm. you know, like, so for instance, an example would be, you know, Brooks Ayers on the OC, right? People don't gloss over that. They have strong opinions about it. I think the New York ladies are talking the same way about Jason. So I feel like there has to be some legal consequences to his actions. He also refused a plea deal that just said he had to get anger management classes. And mm-hmm. he said no. And then the judge gave him two more counts, which means he hasn't stopped. So yeah. A judge doesn't give it about reality TV either. So this isn't drama. Manufactured drama. It is real. And no matter what people think of Bethany, and she's extremely polarizing, right? Oof. I mean, she's extremely polarizing. I get that. But no matter what you think of her, he's in real life scarier, I think.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I've been very critical of Bethany because I think she's an absolutely miserable person. I don't enjoy her. I can see why people do, because if you watch the way she was introduced, her earlier episodes, Bethany getting married and all that, I can see the likable side to her. So that's how they were introduced to her. And that was their first impression, I guess. But with me, I was kind of introduced to her later because I was not an original New York viewer. So I really got to know her when she returned and she was living out of the car and all that, like last season, the richest homeless person in New York. But she really, I mean, I get it. She's going through hell with him, but she's really miserable on that show. Like, she's just not happy. You never see her smile or she smiles if it's at someone else's expense. Like, she's the one that I feel like I don't care for this type. Like, if I say, like, oh, it's going to take me, like, an hour and a half to get to work. And then I feel like she'd be the one to be like, well, how far is it? How, you know, what time are you leaving? Like, it's not going to take you that long. Like, I'm just being dramatic. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just, like, venting. But I feel like she's very matter of fact.
Yeah, like, she has to go in and get you, even mm-hmm. if it's on some minutia. Like that. Mm-hmm. And I agree. It's like you can't even stomach her in some of the scenes. And then for me, so I'm the opposite. I watched her since the beginning. I have a daughter who's the exact same age almost as Brynn's. I was like pregnant with her, you know. Yeah. And I got to tell you, fun fact, my husband looks like he could be Jason Hoppe's brother. It's very strange. No, I know. Now it's not so fun. Because back in the day, we used to be like, oh, my God, that's so crazy. Look, you guys look so much alike. And now I'm like, oh, my God, no. Like, it turns into not a good thing at all. And they don't look that much alike anymore. But back in the day, they kind of did. And I joke about that. And I just was rooting for her always because she was the underdog. But now I think you're right. She's in pain and she's miserable. And she is exemplifying that money can't buy you happiness. Yeah. She's not happy.
It's true. I mean, she's got everything. She even has the kid and all that. It's still the worst life ever, apparently.
I know. It's sad.
It is. Yeah. I mean, I would like to see her get back to where she was happy, but I feel like her whole life has been a struggle. It's tough when people get in cycles like that, you know?
Yeah,
is the sun ever going to come out, you know, for people like that? You don't know.
I know. And her on the show, she can provide some really witty commentary, but she's almost jumped the shark on that a bit too, because it sounds so rehearsed. A lot of it sounds really rehearsed, and a lot of it comes in her talking heads as opposed to in real time.
Totally.
And right. I don't like that.
No. Let's totally switch gears and look at OC Housewives. Now, Erin, you recently put out a great article over on Reality T. The title, Tamra Judge says season 12 RHOC cast gets split into alliances and she's still not friends with Vicki Gunvalson. And there was a lot, you know, you compiled a lot of good information in this article, especially as like a first look, if you will. And that's what I want to talk about here. Kind of get like a little bit of a first look of this upcoming season. It looks to be a little different.
It does look to be a little different. Tamra, she gave an interview to the Huffington Post. And so we use that as one of the sources, as a big source on that piece. And she was really kind of tipping her hand about production, which is interesting mm-hmm. that we were just talking about the Housewives and production. And she was, I'll use the word insinuating. She was insinuating that Bravo was going a little bit in a different direction with the OC Housewives this year, and they wanted to focus more on their family and their private lives. And so they did a lot of separate filming. And that, to me, from my experience in watching and writing about these shows, means that these bitches weren't getting along and they couldn't film with them all together. You know, that's kind of like a kind, soft way of saying, oh, this is what we meant to do.
Right.
As opposed to, we hate each other.
Yeah, I guess that's the only way they can get this show produced is if they just have three and three. So from what I gather, it looks like they're going to have Tamra, Megan, and Shannon taped together often. Then you've got the other side, Vicky, Kelly, and then you've got some Peggy, I guess, is over there, because Tamra mentioned in that article that she didn't do really anything with this Peggy.
Yeah, she was, again, insinuating like, oh, I didn't really get to know her as well as I could have. And it's like, wonder why that is. Tamra is so wonderfully welcoming to the new people, usually.
Well, even Vicky, remember, Vicky is notoriously awful to the new person.
She's horrible.
I love Vicky, and I have no reason to really love her other than the respect that she's the original, and I think she is a lot of fun. But I listened to Tamra on the Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald, and those two are still not in a good place. I mean, she called Vicky almost every name she could. So
really, I didn't listen to that.
Yeah. It was a good one. I mean, it was a long one, but it was a good one. On that show, she also mentioned that Lydia is really not going to disappoint this season because she did her first season.
Yeah, that's shocking to me. I read that piece too, where Tamra was saying, you know, Lydia's not going to disappoint. You're going to see a whole new Lydia. I don't know what Lydia that would be. I mean, unless she brings her mom, because her mom was the only interesting thing about her when she was on before, with, and her mom and then Brianna's husband getting into it over the couch. That was maybe the only piece of drama that was interesting with
that
Lydia.
I know. And it didn't even have anything to do with her.
I still cannot believe they brought her back, and I just wonder what the reason was, because I don't feel like she has the fan base. I don't know what they were thinking.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. But maybe she will deliver.
Also, in this interview on Juicy Scoop, she talked about how they were all surprised that she came back, but yet she's being presented as someone that's in Tamra's inner circle through prayer group or whatever, and that's why she's coming back into the fold. But, I mean, people go on your site, they listen, they find all different ways to find out who's coming back to these shows, and we hear about casting in the process. Why do we have to cloak it with, they're coming into the friend circle? They always just say my group of friends. We all know it's the Housewives and it's cast and everyone's getting paid. It just seems so silly for all of us to continue to play pretend, you know, that she's, you know, coming back in, you know, naturally, when she probably sat through 6 months of negotiations.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And she had to prove her worth. And also, you know, that she's going to be like, oh, how did I find myself here? You know, she's going to act like, do that fish out of water routine. I can just see it now. Like, oh, I can't believe I'm back with these girls. And she's probably been clawing desperately
to get back
in there.
And well, that podcast, Tamra did mention, she said she was in talks to come back last season.
Wow.
So it's been over a year that they've been courting her, which is so odd to me. But, you know, who knows? And she also said that she hasn't seen, not Alexis, Gretchen, since the reunion. We see Gretchen in the preview for season 12, but I guess they're not going to tape together at all. So that's kind of disappointing, you know?
I know. I want them to all be together. This is what we're paying for. This is what we demand. It's gladiator style. There's one arena. Get in the arena. You know, I don't like when the housewives start to dictate the terms of my show.
I agree. I know.
This is us. This is us who are supporting them in this show. We're the viewers, you know, blogging about it, writing about it, having podcasts. I mean, they really depend upon the court of public opinion. And so.
Totally.
You know, this is. When they start dictating the terms of how they're going to appear. And I would even go as far as to say, like, Elisa Vanderpump, who I love, who is beloved by a lot of us. I think she did us dirty last season because she negotiated with Bravo that in her contract, literally in her contract, they needed to focus on her businesses and her philanthropy, or she was not going to come back. And she was not to be part of any A storyline drama. And guess what? The whole season was about a damn pair of underwear.
Yep.
Because she took herself out of that. And she was the most boring presence on the entire show. And I'm like, why are you doing that to yourself?
She has to leave that show 3 seasons ago. I have no interest in her anymore. They teased us with that son looking into the birth parents thing, which we knew was just for television.
Just for TV.
Yeah. I mean, it's all manipulative. Funny enough, talking about her being she's manipulating everyone.
She's manipulating us. And so the OC Housewives are following suit maybe a little bit, you know, saying who we're going to film with or who we don't like. It's like, yeah, we know you don't like each other. That's why this is a show with high ratings. Get in the arena.
Yep. I know the show did better than ever last season. So now that they're all on different islands, it's a little concerning. But I'm more concerned more than anything else about this new Peggy. I mean, she was barely in that preview. There's no press about her. Is she going to be another, like, Peggy Thanos just in the background? Or, like, all the others that kind of just – is she going to be a Lydia?
A Lydia or – who was it? Was it Lizzie?
Lizzie did as little as possible. I think she had one party at that Laguna Beach house, and that was it.
Yes, she had one party, she had a hot husband, and she talked about her kids one time. I mean, she was so forgettable. And yeah, Peggy seems like such an odd fit, very odd, and she seems like a Shaw's reject.
Oh, totally.
Or something.
Very out of place on this show.
Yeah, like she ended up on the wrong soundstage, and they were just like, yeah, whatever, just be a housewife. Like, it's all right.
Yeah. I know. I think we don't need her. We've got Megan, and then for whatever, Lydia, and, you know, all the others are still there. So I think Shannon will bring the most. Yeah.
Bring back Gretchen. Why?
Yeah.
Tamara cannot have that much power. Bring back Gretchen. I mean, I know she comes with that with Slade, which sucks, but he also brings his own slime.
Slade is historic to the Housewives. Just pull him in. Pull him in.
Well, it's like a mascot.
I know. Well, when we return, we're going to be looking at another group of crazy people over on the new season of Big Brother, season 19. We're going to be giving our thoughts on the casting. So there'll be a lot more to come as we talk with Aaron Martin coming up.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Subscribe and spread the word.
There are a lot more rants to come.
Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with Aaron Martin from RealityT.com and The Jenny McCarthy Show over on Sirius XM. And we're going to look at Big Brother Season 19. This is a show honestly, I haven't watched from the beginning, and I know that's like, it's a Big Brother fan, that's such a cheat, but I've watched it for a long time, and I know enough about it, and another crop of kids and one old man are in this Big Brother house. Aaron, what did you think about the show, the casting and these people?
Well, okay, so the casting of it is interesting to me. I know very little about Big Brother, so I'm going to give an outsider's perspective here. I've only ever watched one season of Big Brother. It was 2 years ago, the season where Steve won over one of the twins.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, season 17. So I watched last night's premiere, and I wrote down a few notes. The first one was what you already alluded to, that there is a person 20 years older than the casting cutoff there. And I don't understand why he's there. I mean, I don't know what that is all about. Kevin. What,
yeah.
Right?
The man in his 50s, right? I assume. Yeah. He's got seven kids. And I thought, okay, well, maybe they'll skew it and then they'll have someone who's like turning 40 and it'll kind of bridge the gap or something. I think it's like him in his 50s. And the next oldest, I think, is like 38 or 33. So there's a gap there. And they've done this in the past, and those the older people, they just don't last. Then they don't get the votes. It'd be cool if they skewed the show in one way, is not just had one odd man out. So it bothered me because I'm like, you know, this is really like a waste of a spot. I hate to say it.
It is a waste of a spot, but it causes people to talk. I mean, he's probably the most talked about cast member, you know, because just from walking on that set. And so maybe it created a buzz, and that's what they wanted. I mean, he's got the weird three-piece suit with the vest, and he's got the slick back hair, and he keeps talking about the neighborhood, and his title is stay-at-home dad. He is not a stay-at-home dad. He is lying. I mean, he's totally lying about that. I don't know, but it's very strange. I feel like he's a plant. I feel like there's going to be a twist in the game and there's going to be something, I don't know.
Well, if I was in that game and I was another contestant, I would say, okay, this is definitely someone's dad that's planted in this and we're not going to know until the end. It's going to be a twist. But I guess he really isn't anyone's dad. He's just literally there.
He looks like the creepy uncle more than anyone's dad. Yeah, he looks like the, he looks like he's creepy. He creeps me out.
A couple of people caught my attention for good and for bad. And so I want to know what your impressions were. I mean, if you don't remember them, then that's even better. They're not very memorable. So a couple of standouts for me was this girl Christmas, this CrossFit fit trainer model. She has a better body than I could ever imagine having myself. She's pretty. She's you know, she looks like a competition beast and she looks intense, but she also looks very, she comes across very smart. And she's someone that I would put money on because I think that she could do really well. And she's an older chick too. So I feel like she could be focused.
Yep. I agree with you on all of those points. I thought the same thing. I wrote her down in my list of contenders because of those same reasons. She's got a brain, she's got a body for challenges, and she seems social because sometimes those, you know, if you're a CrossFit trainer and stuff, sometimes you can be like that kid who was a nerd and, you know, nobody talked to you, and then this is your revenge body. But she seems really well adjusted.
Yeah.
You know, I like, she doesn't seem like she's got an attitude either. And she had that smart thought, that gameplay on night one where she said, you know, I'm not going to win this challenge even though I can, because I don't want to come across as a threat. And that's a pretty obvious thing to think for most people, but she knows how she presents herself. She knows that she looks like a beast. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then I really didn't care for this Jason, a rodeo clown who goes by the name of, this is when I was done, Whistle Nut is his name. I mean, come on. I'm not watching a show with someone named Whistle Nut on the show, period. And then what's worse is he also is an auctioneer. Now, there were two things growing up in my house that we had to change a channel or put on mute immediately. Those auctioneers yelling the prices of things that you can't understand. And the sound of bagpipes. My mother would just not allow it. So those two things. So as soon as he came on and I saw him dressed as some clown and then he did the auction, we were done. So no, I'm not into this guy at all. He seems like he's really going to, you know, kill it for himself real fast. And he said that in an interview, he said that he would be open to a showmance if it furthered his game. But he's married and has a child. Now, how do you respect that?
That is ridiculous. He's the Waboom of this show. That guy from The Bachelorette who was like a total poser. I don't know if you know him from The Bachelorette this season, but he was just an idiot. He's like a wannabe actor. He got on The Bachelorette and he just kept screaming Waboom all the time. Oh, this is the Waboom of Big Brother. Yeah, this rodeo clown. Yeah. And who actually puts like rodeo clown under your job title? I mean, even the dog walker just said dog walker. Yeah. You know?
I know. No, I want nothing to do with him. No. Dominique, she's a government engineer, and she's got a great personality, and she seems like a real leader. But she told everyone that she's a motivational speaker, which is smart. That's her strategy. So she's going to come across like she's some big smarty pants. But I feel like someone like her is, but just from her natural ability to lead and be loud, I don't know if she's going to last very long. Because she's someone that people will remember. She's not going to fly under the radar. You know what I mean?
No, she won't fly under the radar. And I agree with you on that too. I think she could probably move behind the camera and start being like the ground production for the show seamlessly and stop being a contestant, you know, easily. And she looks like that. And she comes across like that. She's way too well spoken to be on Big Brother.
Totally agree. I know. Well, then you mentioned the dog walker, this girl Megan. She's an ex-military interrogator. And of course, they don't know that. And I really think that if she doesn't outplay herself and burn out, she could do really well. I'm very curious to see how she's going to play this game.
I am too. I never know what to think of these people who say they're ex-military this or ex-military that, because it's like, that there's a story there. I don't know what that story is. And now you're a dog walker. So that story could be because it could be like, P.S. because I'm unhinged and couldn't handle it and had a traumatic experience. Or it could be, you know, I was honorably discharged. I just don't know. For me, she's a wild card still. I don't know. Yeah.
I didn't care for Josh, this Cuban loudmouth. So he's one of those who's like this bigger guy. And if you notice with him, he doesn't walk places. Those are those types of people that they have to like jump. You know, it's like they're so excited. They have so much energy. They jump into place. Tool, I could never live with someone like that, ever. I have no interest in him whatsoever on this show.
He's very excited to be wherever you are. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's not going to last because he's too loud. He doesn't play under the radar. He's going to be very vocal about how he feels about people and decision making. He's going to try to go in and sway people as the HOH, and they're going to get rid of him real fast. I've seen it over and over.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. He's got to fix this thing. He's going to fix his strategy. Now, Paul, this guy Paul from last season came back. Now, you're not familiar with Paul, correct?
I'm not. I talked to a good friend who is a huge, avid Big Brother fanatic, and he told me all about Paul. So I have some intel, but what are your thoughts on Paul?
Oh, I can't stand him. Okay. I want nothing to do with him either on this show. He had a shot. I think Big Brother needs to revisit what constitutes a quote fan favorite, because they're getting a whole lot of Twitter and Facebook hate with having him back. He was just he was on for way too long, and he was too loud, and he literally made it to the end. He was the runner up. So I was waiting the whole time for them to get rid of him because he was so loud, and I just suffer all through all 48 episodes. So not too pleased to have to sit through this one again.
Yeah.
What do you know about Paul?
So, well, My friend Daniel, he's moderated boards and things like that on Reddit for Big Brother. He has a lot of opinions about Paul, but he thinks the only reason Kevin was cast on the show was to get Paul out or something. Like, he's got this elaborate theory that it's making room for Paul because they just wanted Paul to come back on. Now, my friend is a Paul fan. I'll tell you what my first impression of him was that I thought he was a villain. I was like, oh, who's this guy he's from a prior season. Oh, that's because everybody hated him, obviously. So I had no idea he was a fan favorite, because to me, he looks immediately like every waiter who's ever rolled their eyes when I asked for extra ranch.
Yeah.
Like, he's just that guy. You know, like, he thinks he's incredibly too cool.
Totally.
But he's like a dog walker, you know, like the other girl, but he's not out about it. He's like, I'm an aspiring drummer. Like, I can picture him writing that, you know, on his resume. So I thought he was a villain. I couldn't believe that when I heard from my friend that he was a fan favorite from some people. I'm like, why? He's just so off-putting.
I know. Luckily, it seems like some of these men in the show who are, you know, really fit, and they seem older and smarter, I think they're going to take him right out. I mean, that's an easy one, right? Just get rid of the vet. So
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get rid of him.
I don't like him. Get rid of him. Yeah, he seems like he wants to do this as a career. He seems like one of those people, you know, those people from watching reality TV. They want to be a reality TV star. That's him.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Yep, it's like I got a good, and there was another guy, James, was on the last two seasons. He got a great reaction from the crowd, and got America's Favorite and all that. And he was applying to get on everything.
They said, I remember him.
Yeah, they even talked about it, like, one of, the live feeds or whatever. And he was like, I've applied for, 13 other shows, and I haven't got anything. I'm like, dude, go get a job.
Right. Make yourself a real person. Yeah.
Yes. So let's talk about you, a real person doing real things over on reality TV and more. I want to talk about what you're up to and what you're writing. You write regularly over on, or daily news blurbs over on Reality T. So that has to be a lot of work.
Yeah, you know, it really isn't. It's not my full-time job. I'll just give you a little bit of background very quickly.
I was
a high school English teacher for 13 years, and I started doing this while I was teaching. And this past year, I started running a mentor program in our school district for new teachers. So I'm hugely involved in the public schools. But I also have been around teenage girls for a very, very long time. And so I was an avid reality TV watcher all through this. And I used to talk to my students about this, and we would joke about, you know, how these adults were acting. And I just ended up sending a recap into Reality T because it was the site I read every single day. And they were asking if people were up for recapping shows that they didn't have full-time recappers for. And I was like, this might be kind of fun to like get commenters and just get yourself out there. And so I wrote something up and they said, sure. And I ended up doing writing for free for them for at least 6 months before I ended up becoming a hired on writer, you know, to do recaps and then daily news blurbs about everything. And it's super fun. I love it. I do it. My job is so flexible now that I can do a little bit of writing here and there during the day. I can do my recaps at night. Reality T has set me up with so many different opportunities too, interviewing people, even the Jenny McCarthy thing. That was all through Reality T.
Wow, really? I was wondering how that came about. I was going to ask you about that. So you've been with Reality T for how long? What is it, 3 years?
Yep, 3 years. 3 years this summer. Yeah, I started writing recaps for this show called Game of Crowns. It was on for one season on Bravo. It was about these grown women in New England.
Yeah, Rhode Island.
In Rhode Island. It was crazy. And I was writing about it because I was like, my family's from there. I want to write about this. This is crazy, you know? And yeah. And then I started writing about more of the shows I was actually watching. But I'll watch those one hit wonder shows too. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm down for the cause for all of it.
And you can almost tell that they're the one hit wonders too. Like, well, I guess not, because that Oklahoma show, I thought that was going to be a one time thing, but I couldn't sit through it. A clip of that show.
Honey, I like it. That's so funny. This is the one thing we probably have differed on most. You know what? Maybe I'm the audience for that, though, because I'm sort of in that age range. You know, I think I am exactly in that age range. And they definitely are presenting that show in a different way for Bravo. It's more of a sitcom. It's not a drama. Mm-hmm. It's goofy, and it's really, it's just goofy. Yeah, there's nothing heavy going on there.
See, I like things that are like the old Bravo, like the aspirational stuff, the real estate porn and all that. You know what I mean? Just like the beautiful stuff. So to me, I was like, didn't Vicki Gunvalson make fun of Oklahoma for like 2 years? Like, why do we care about this? But I can see its appeal. But yeah, it's just not. Yeah. I'm not in the demo for that one.
It's not aspirational at all. No. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love the aspirational viewing too. I watch that, all the Housewives franchises, just for that. Absolutely.
Oh yeah. I'm really curious to hear about your experience over with Jenny McCarthy. And you mentioned how it came about, the Reality TV, but how long have you been there? What have you been doing for her? Like, how does it work with her? I'm so curious.
So it was just so amazing because, Jenny McCarthy's producer, David, contacted my editor and asked for me and asked if I would come on to talk to Jenny about the Housewives because she was really getting into Beverly Hills this year. So they found me through Reality T and I guess liked my write-ups and they asked if I could do it. And I thought about it and for a second, I was like, yes, you know, of course I will. It's Jenny McCarthy, who I absolutely love. I grew up watching her on Singled Out, you know, back in the day. I'm a huge fan of hers. I've even read some of her books, you know, and I just went on there cold. I mean, they gave me a cut sheet, which they do, you know, beforehand to tell you which clips they're going to play and what Jenny's going to talk about. And I'd never done radio before. I've only been a writer, you know, and writing is so static in a way. Cause you're just, you give it to your editor publishes it and it's all linked up and then you get comments, but you really don't interact with anyone. It's a solo endeavor. Right. And so I didn't know how radio would go, kind of like what you and I are doing. You know, it's like we're having a conversation and we ended up just totally hitting it off. Like I felt, my nerves immediately went away the first time I talked to her because I just felt like I was talking to a girlfriend. I was like, yeah. And then Kyle and Kim Richards and oh my God, like we just kind of got into it. And next thing you know, they're asking me back. And then I was on, I'd say I've been on more weeks than I haven't been since from January to June. So I'd pretty much weekly, unless I'm not able to do it because I do have a job and I do have appointments that I need to go to. Or sometimes she'll have something going on that she can't do it too, but I pretty much count on it. And then, yeah, it was all through Reality T. So yeah. my editor is really generous. She always is. She gets a lot of contacts from outside agencies, whether they're, you know, she set us all up with interviewing the different reality stars when we want to. CNN contacted her last year to see if someone would write about the presidential election from a reality TV standpoint. And she asked me if I would do it and I did. And that was a huge honor to even write for CNN. I'm like, I'm a reality TV blogger, but right. It was really, I think Reality T has a lot of good exposure, which I'm really grateful to write for them. It's a great site. And they're a super generous site with their writers. So I like that.
That's great. They really do cover everything. They've got the list, the menu on the left side.
I know.
And like past, present, you know, developing. There's so much stuff there. And that's why it's great for doing AfterBuzz for the recaps. You know, we do the podcast recaps. So we have that news and gossip segment, but I can always count on Reality TV to have something to, you know, to vocalize it. Even if it's like, you know, some crazy tweet from Kim Richards. I'm like, they've got it. Perfect.
I know. Exactly. Yeah. Because sometimes the only, you know, we have a document that we all work from and we can never get through all the stories we have because we're all part-time writers and we're all doing other things in our lives and we're trying to get to what we can when we can. And we're also all over the country in different time zones. And so, sometimes the article itself will be like, so-and-so tweeted this, thoughts, you know? So I love that site is all about opinion too. And it's just a snark fest and it's just super fun. But the Jenny McCarthy thing feels very much like it's a great extension of that for me because, you know, I write my recaps, but then I can talk to her about her thoughts. And she really comes to it from two perspectives, one as a viewer and as like a super fan, which she's just become basically. And she's gone back and watched all the seasons of everything, every city. Yeah. So she's just 2 feet in right now. And it's almost like talking to like a brand new, like almost kid-like viewer. She's just so much fun. But secondly, she's produced TV and she's also been in her own reality series, Donnie Loves Jenny. And so she knows how the sausage is made. So then we'll talk about the production of these shows.
That's what I like. Actually,
yeah, and then the third element actually is then she has the actual reality stars on her show. Like she'll have Ramona or Dorinda or Lisa Vanderpump or Erica Jane on. So we get to talk about it on all these different levels. And I love that.
It's like a full investigation, really. Yeah. You know, you're looking at what's being presented to you and then you dig a little deeper and then you go to the source.
Yeah. And then she'll be like, I'm going to ask her about that. And I'm like, you're going to the source. Yay.
That's great.
So she's super fun. Yeah. She's really great. And her whole show is really great. I feel like she's got a great level of honesty and she likes to have fun and she likes to be snarky too, just like we all do when it comes to reality TV, but she's never mean or vicious. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't go really some can get that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it can be a fine line too, you know, because it depends how you're perceived. You know, like I can make fun of someone and have a good laugh and I'll make fun of all of them. But if I say something, you know, about one of them that they're, you know, what they believe went too far, then you're a bitch. And it's like, well, you know, we're making fun of Sonia Morgan showing up like with this guy who can't speak English, like relax. I mean, but I will say, I'm not surprised that you hit it off with Jenny through talking about these housewives and reality TV, because I've made some of my closest friends just bonding over these shows. Like, you know, with AfterBuzz, I don't know everyone there and we'll sit and we'll watch the show and then we'll go in and we'll talk about it. And we don't know anything about each other. We haven't had a conversation on any, you know, personal level, but we come out of it being like good friends because like we bond over the love of or hate of these shows.
Exactly. You love to hate some of them and you love to love others. And you know what, for me, it's like, it's kind of like my sports, because I'm not into team sports. Like, my husband is, I am not. This is my sports. Like, I like knowing the statistics. I like talking about the drafts, the casting, the, like you do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just such a big world of fun. I don't know. It's just got a lot of good goop in it. I love it.
Yeah.
And I do bond with people over it very easily. The commenters on all these sites, they can go at it. And, you know, they can go at it, but they mostly, for the most part, I would say they really bond over their love for it.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about this article that you mentioned over on CNN, and it's entitled "Why Donald Trump is the Perfect Real Housewife." Mm-hmm. And like I mentioned, you alluded to it earlier, and I think it's a brilliant piece. And it really,
thank you.
It looks at the first debate. Is that true? That was the first one.
Yeah,
and which debate. To all housewife viewers looks like a reunion gone bad. I mean, automatically. So
totally.
It was very easy to draw the ties as just suffering through watching that. So it's great to have this piece here because, you mentioned the split screen. I'm like, yeah, this is like, how it really is. And I love that you put his tagline, which I think is so true, which could be, hate me all you want, I'll be back for more. I mean, that is like the ultimate tagline and the truth.
I know. And I have to basically remember at all times when I see the tweets, when I see the coverage of him through the election and right now him as POTUS, he is first and foremost a reality star. He's a reality star.
He knows how to make noise.
He does. And, the most hated housewives stay the longest in those franchises. And that's what scares me. Mm-hmm. That's what scares me in my particular beliefs. But I think people can't stop talking about him who hate him more than people who love him. And that's a media monopoly.
Yep.
You know, you've got a monopoly on all sides of the media then.
Yep. And to that,
people who love you.
To that point, you listed, examined a list of reality TV casting requirements in this article. Yeah. And it pretty much matched exactly as one would think. So if you want to read this article and you're listening, you can find the link to it in the information attached to this episode. It's a good read, whether you're a reality TV fan or like us, avid Real Housewives watchers and recappers. You'll enjoy the article. I think it's a good one to read, especially at work. And I got a good laugh out of it at work.
Thank you. Thanks for reading it.
Of course. So I loved having you on. This was great. We speak the same language over here.
I know. I feel like we bonded. Now I know you. You're not just a Twitter, face.
I know. So a round disc now. Yeah, yeah, I know. Well, this is great. Thank you so much for coming on and, supporting this show. And I appreciate all of it. So I hope that you all enjoyed this episode. And I hope that you will check me out over on patreon.com/GrantsRants. I've added some new content over there. I do want to say thank you to my supporters over there, Small But Mighty, and I appreciate you all for checking that out. We're going to be rolling out more content over the next couple weeks and months, so if you're interested in bonus content and want to support the Rants, check out Grant's Rants over on Patreon. In the meantime, if you want to keep up with me, you know where you can find me. It says at the end of each show. Where can we find you, Erin?
Well, I've only been in the Twitter sphere for about 6 months. I mean, I joined a long time ago, but you can find me on Twitter. I'm slowly limping along there at Erin Leah Martin. And you can find me at Reality Tea. And under Erin M. All my articles are under Erin M. I'm covering the New York Housewives right now and a weird little show called Little Women LA on TLC. It's got over 1 million viewers and it's on its sixth season. It's a bizarre show, but And also on the Jenny McCarthy show right now on Thursdays, we're doing Real Housewives of New York recaps every Thursday. And her show is on Sirius XM channel 109.
That's awesome. Good for you. Well, I loved having you on. Thank you so much for the chat.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll keep up with you, that and more. More rants to come.
This has been Grant's Rants. Support the Rants on Patreon. Follow us on Twitter @ It's Grants Rants.
cover art created by Howie Rone. Voiceover by Aw Yeah. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen. The Grant Michael Collection.